You're listening to SBS News.
Since the Liberal Party staffer's alleged sexual assault in Canberra's Parliament House in 2019, there's been a slow and steady reckoning. The story of Brittany Higgins spurred tens of thousands to march at rallies across Australia to express their frustration with the status quo.
Every single woman and ally who is here today will not stop raising our voices.
The uproar also led to a review of the workplace by Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins, who found Parliament was a hotbed of abuse and harassment.
Over half, that is 51% of all people currently in Commonwealth parliamentary workplaces, have experienced at least one incident of bullying, sexual harassment, or actual or attempted sexual assault. Across all parliamentary workplaces, 40% of women have been sexually harassed compared to 26% of men.
That finding led to an apology by then Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
This review speaks of a long-standing culture, generations of culture, in this place and in the building before it, of bullying and harassment that has occurred over this time. And a power imbalance over that time that has been exploited. And that exploitation, abuse, bullying and harassment has played itself out through terrible, traumatic and harrowing experiences.
There seemed to be little progress after that. But when Labor won the federal election in May, new Speaker Milton Dick gave the first sign change could be coming.
In the last Parliament, we saw the Jenkins Review highlight the ways that this building has failed to keep its occupants safe. However, it also presented a roadmap to ensure that we protect the people that we are responsible for.
And now there's been a parliamentary inquiry in Canberra, hardly noticed amidst the official mourning for Queen Elizabeth. The committee has the job of putting together a new draft code of conduct, and that new code is expected to include rules about the consumption of alcohol in Parliament House, a direct reference to the drinking culture that the Jenkins Review said was a major contributor. Tegan Johnston from the Parliamentary Leadership Task Force says the current rules aren't consistent.
There are some workplaces or staff in Parliament House, for example, working for DPS, Department of Parliamentary Services, that do have alcohol policies in place and others that don't.
Commissioner Kate Jenkins herself has also testified before the inquiry. She says making sure everyone is committed to change will be the key to any new code's effectiveness.
If you start with the ministerial code of conduct and look at those key areas of focus, it's the same: integrity, respect, and if you can kind of join the two bits in the middle, you will have one parliament where people aren't speaking different languages when it comes and interacting with each other with roughly the same expectations and understanding.
CEO of the Global Institute for Women's Leadership, Natalie Barr, says one of the most important considerations is not just what the standards should be, but what to do if someone breaks them.
You could consider longer suspensions from those from sitting. Other things are withdrawal of parliamentary passes in the precinct and things. So I think that's an interesting one. It's not something that we really do here. And there may be particular sort of breaches that would be more appropriate for than others.
Professor Marion Sawyer from the Australian National University says a new code of conduct ought to have power, since the Jenkins Review concluded that harassment often grew from power imbalances and a lack of accountability.
We believe these codes must be enforceable with clear sanctions and consequences for failure to abide by these codes. We believe that breaches of the codes should be investigated independently and that the codes should include a positive obligation to cooperate with these investigations.
She's drawn parallels between this code of conduct process and Labor's planned anti-corruption bill, with both about making sure bad behaviour can be easily reported and acted upon.
It's clear to us, at least, that there's overlap between the work of this committee in drawing up codes of conduct in accordance with the recommendations of the Set the Standard Review and the proposed Integrity Commission legislation that is scheduled to be released this week.
Liberal Senator Maurice Payne is the committee's deputy chair. She says the proposed code of conduct would have to cover everyone who works at Parliament House.
There are hundreds of them, literally, and there are, of course, multiple strands of participants within those workplaces, from contractors to lobbyists to the media to parliamentarians to their staff, ministers, their staff, etc.
Independent Senator David Pocock, whose vote will eventually prove crucial in the upper house, says the same principles should apply to the government's anti-corruption legislation. The Parliamentary Standards Committee is due to report by December, while the Integrity Bill looks set to be introduced into Parliament next week. Deborah Grawke, SBS News.